Hi there. Thank you for choosing to listen to the sermon. We pray that God would use this as an added resource to benefit you in conjunction with you belonging to a local church near you. This sermon was preached at Central Baptist Church, Pretoria. 130 years of believers loving God, caring for one another, and impacting the world.
Great to be able to share with you in the preaching of God's Word. We are taking a break from Colossians while Pastor Charles is away. Please pray for the elders, pray for Jabu and I. You would think it might be fun. I'm not sure about that. Won't you open your Bibles in Romans chapter 6 and we're going to be reading from verse 9, actually, to 23. Romans chapter 6. This is what the word of the Lord says from verse 9. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin, and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body to make you obey its passions. Do not present your members to sin as instruments for unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and your members to God as instruments for righteousness. For sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under law, but under grace. What then? Are we to sin because we are not under law, but under grace? By no means. Do you not know that if you present yourselves to anyone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin, which leads to death, or of obedience, which leads to righteousness. But thanks be to God that you who were once slaves of sin have become obedient from the heart to the standard of teaching to which you were committed. And having been set free from sin, have become slaves of righteousness. I am speaking in human terms because of your natural limitations. For just as you once presented your members as slaves to impurity and to lawlessness leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves to righteousness leading to sanctification. For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. But what fruit were you getting at that time from the things of which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves of God, the fruit you get leads to sanctification and its end, eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Lord, speak to us through the preaching of your word. Hide me that Christ may be exalted. I pray this in the precious name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. As I was trying to think of an illustration of struggle, of difficulty and things like that, Home Affairs came to mind. And so I have been dealing with Home Affairs and applying for visas for a long time. Some of you will know and have been praying for me in terms of getting my documentation, permanent residence. I applied 3 years ago. In fact, in January, Melissa got a call from an officer from Home Affairs, and he asked her, "Are you still married?" to him. "It's been a while. Are you still married?" And there is certain perks of obviously living in South Africa and being a South African. For example, in, you know, national parks, you get normal rate. If you're a foreigner, you get a different, different rate. Buying house and bank loans, or even I found this out, opening a Discovery Bank account, you also need that. And guess what? This morning, as I was thinking about this, I'm like, let me check. And it says it's ready for collection. Can you praise the Lord with me? Yeah. And I was like, wow, this is amazing. And though, and I mean, I hope what I collect is what I'm hoping for. And so I'm going to get this document of permanent residence, but the battle for some of those things in terms of, you know, if you wanted to buy a house, and it's not like all the problems have now disappeared. You're still going to have other different struggles. And I am pointing this out because this text is speaking about, yes, you have been set free. You have this document of you've been justified. Heaven is coming. You're getting all the perks, but the fighting is not over. The struggle is not done yet. It's not completely done. So, coming to our text, just a few points in terms of the context. He starts chapter 6, Paul starts chapter 6, talking about our union with Christ. And we are united with Him in baptism. You know, we often quote that text. And in His death and His resurrection. And because of that union, we are free. Notice in verse 11, it says, "So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus." Now, there's a word that appears twice there as we were reading, and the word is dominion. That word dominion is very important. In verse 9, it says, "We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over Him." And then he goes on to say that in verse 14, "For sin will have no dominion over you." So in this first few verses, Paul is actually making a comparison, and he's saying, just as Jesus, He died once for all and paid for our sins, death has no dominion over Him anymore. Jesus will never die again. And just as death has no dominion over Jesus, just as that, in fact, I don't like the ESV says, "So you also." Other version is likewise, or because of that, in such a manner, you will not be under sin's dominion. You are free. You are free. You have been set free. And Paul says that. And although Paul says you have been set free, yet he gives the instruction in verse 12, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body to make you obey its passions. This is a present command or instruction. Do not present your members to sin as instruments for unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life. So can you see, Paul is saying, yes, you are indeed free, and yet he's saying, don't present yourselves, your bodies, for sin. Wait. But am I not free? Yes, I am free, and yet he's saying, don't sin. Don't present your bodies for sin. To obey these passions. To make you obey its passions. What does that imply? That you and I are still struggling with those passions. That you and I are still drawn to things that are not godly. That our eyes wander where they shouldn't, and that our tongues say things we shouldn't, and that our thoughts think things that are deplorable. So there is this contrast. Yes, I am free. I've been set free in Jesus. Sin will have no dominion over you, just like death will never touch Jesus again. And yet, there is this fight, this struggle against sin. But in verse 14, it says, for sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under the law, but under grace. Since you're not under the law, but under grace. Now, what does that mean? Even I, when I was reading this, was like, Paul, what are you saying? So my first point is this, that the gospel is a weapon for fighting sin. What does Paul mean in this verse? And I want to borrow from Martin Lloyd-Jones, which was really, really helpful in explaining this. He explains there are only two positions. We are either under the law or under grace. But if we were under the law, Paul could have not make the statement, sin will have no dominion over you. Paul wouldn't be able to say sin will have no dominion over you. Why? Why wouldn't he be able to make this statement? The next two chapters, chapter 7 and 8 of Romans, will deal in more detail about that. But turn with me to chapter 8 and let's just read the first 4 verses. All right. Romans chapter 8 and the first 4 verses. It says, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do. By sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, He condemned sin in the flesh, in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. So, to quote Martin Lloyd-Jones in summary, he says, the preposition is that any law of any kind, cannot deliver us from the power and the tyranny and the dominion of sin. See, we are either under law or we are under grace. But under the law, there is never freedom from sin. Because the law was never intended to deliver us from sin. The law was delivered and given to us so that we would have the knowledge of sin. So that we would understand that sin is actually aggravated by the law. The law is good and righteous, but it was never intended to deliver us from sin. The reason Paul can say sin will have no dominion over you is because we are under grace. So how does this actively help me to fight sin? And there's two common mistakes that Paul actually addresses here. And each one of us generally lean towards one or the other. And I mentioned this before, and you guys will remember this. But one of them is legalism, and the other one is antinomianism. The legalist says we cannot live under grace. Again, Lloyd-Jones is helpful. He says that the legalist will say, if you remove the law, there will be nothing left for us to do. There will be no restraint. You can't remove the law. And unfortunately, there are people that have reduced Christianity to a set of morals, do's and don'ts. How many times have you heard from people from the world that, Christianity is all about just killing fun? You can't have sex outside of marriage. You can't drink. You can't go wild. And it's Christianity's just a do's and don'ts. But Paul addresses that mistake by reminding us that we are justified by faith and not by the works, not by the law. It is through Jesus Christ, faith in Jesus Christ. In fact, if you want to know more about salvation in Christ alone, come to today's study with Tim on the five solas. So, sometimes we lean towards just works. We want to make that we ourselves can get to our point by doing certain things of elevation where Christ will finally accept us. And that is a mistake. Law can never justify us. It is only through faith in Jesus Christ. The second mistake is antinomianism. Which means no law. Basically, those who think that, since we are not under law, it gives me the license to do whatever I want and I can go and sin. And again, Paul addresses that and says, by no means. If you think that you can carry on sinning, you have not understood the gospel. How are we to live doing the very thing Christ came to deliver us from? The gospel does not let us embrace either of those positions. And so again to our question, how are we to to fight. We must change masters. We must change masters. Look at verse 16. Do you not know that if you present yourselves to anyone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin which leads to death or of obedience which leads to righteousness? Now, why does Paul use this word, slave? And Melissa was helping me with some research and digging on this. But this would have been very much part of their life. In the Greco-Roman world, two-thirds to half of the whole population were slaves. And there were different kinds of slaves. There were those that were treated better, those that were in the home, those that were in the setting more of agricultural, those were treated worse. It had, in those times, nothing to do with any particular race. There was everyone of any kind was slaved. And so, in their minds, it was very clear, okay, what Paul is talking about when he uses that word slave. And the reality is that all of us are slaves in one way or another. The world will look at us and says, you are not free. Will look at us and like, look at all these restrictions that you have. And yet, true freedom is being a slave of the great master, Jesus Christ. See, they don't realize, but they are slaves to their own passions and sins and desires that lead to death. And this is Paul's point. He is comparing that either you're going to be slaves of sin, which leads to death, or of obedience, which leads to... Now, this is very interesting. You naturally want to say to life, right? And again, Lloyd-Jones was so helpful. He was saying, but if he had said to life, he would have been contradicting himself, because then that means you would have life because of your works. But you can't have life because of your works. Which leads to obedience and righteousness. And so Paul goes and makes this argument. Both of them are leading somewhere. One leads to lawlessness and death, and the other one leads to sanctification and life. But look at verse 21. But what fruit were you getting at that time from the things of which you are now ashamed? And this is Paul trying to drive the point home. Because you and I can identify with this, where we think back of something you've done or sin you committed, and you're so ashamed. And you think, oh, how could I have done that? What was I thinking in doing that? And we think back and we have shame. And he's saying, what fruit was that? What fruit were you getting from that? All of us are still struggling in this fight with sin. But he highlights something of what some of the commentators say, a great definition of what a Christian is. Look at verse 17. But thanks be to God that you who were once slaves of sin have become obedient from the heart to the standard of teaching to which you were committed. Let me just highlight a few things on this verse. Firstly, he says, thanks be to God that you who were once slaves to sin. The Christian life is marked by a big change. Something must have happened in your life that you were like this, but you are now like this. You were slaves to sin, but you are no longer like that. There has to be a change in your life. If you have truly met Jesus Christ, you have to be able to say at some point, even if you were brought up in the church, and you can't really pinpoint the exact moment of your salvation, but you have to be able to say, I was like this, and now I'm like this. There has been a change. There is no way that Jesus comes into your life and you remain the same. In fact, I want to warn you, if you are here this morning and you claim to have met Christ, but your life has not changed at all, from my heart and out of love, you are in danger of hell. There has to be a change. But then Paul also highlights that a change has happened and they have become obedient from the heart. I wish I could spend more time on this. But this is an obedience that gladly obeys and submits. It's from the heart. It's not a pharisaical. It's not just ticking boxes. And it's an obedience from the heart. And the heart in the scriptures, in the New Testament, is where everything comes from, as it were. It's not just talking about emotions. But it's saying it is obedience from the heart to the standard of teaching to which you are committed. You are now obeying God's word from the heart. So, what is Paul saying? Obedience from the heart is a big way of how to fight sin. Obedience from the heart. We sometimes want to do the big gesture. We want to maybe even go and try to sacrifice something, but the Bible says obedience is better than sacrifice. So as you are confronted with sin and as opportunities come, remember God's word and obey it. There's a quote from one of the Puritans, John Flavel, I don't know how you pronounce it. This is what it says. The heart of man is his worst part before it is regenerated, and the best afterward. It is the seat of principles and the fountain of actions. The eye of God is, and the eye of the Christian ought to be, principally fixed upon it. The greatest difficulty in conversion is to win the heart to to God. And the greatest difficulty after conversion is to keep the heart with God. So my question is, as we're fighting, are you obeying from the heart? Are you and I living a life of obedience from the heart? Sin is dirty. It consumes, it destroys. I was sharing on Friday night at Awana. The theme was the floor is lava, and sin is like lava that permeates and destroy things in its way. Sin is dirty, but God is holy. God is holy, holy, holy. Sin brings us shame and leads to destruction. But if we look to the right master of Jesus Christ, who paid the sins for our, who paid our penalty, who paid for our sins, which leads us to life and sanctification. And it's a free gift. Paul ends with that. The wages of sin is death. But the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. It's a free gift. And so, this morning, I want to encourage us to be reminded of your identity, which is what Paul starts with. You are free and alive to God. But your fight is not over. Remember the gospel. Remember that you are saved by grace and not by any works that you've done. Obey from the heart. Keep looking to Jesus. Let us pray. Oh Lord, where would we be if it was not because of your grace and your mercy? We will still be dead in our trespasses and sins. Oh Lord, help us with the fight. Help us to look to you. Help us to fix our eyes on Jesus. Forgive us as we sometimes lean either to have a Christian life that is characterized by legalism, or a Christian life that is characterized by not caring for the law. Lord, help us to remember the gospel, Lord. That we put our faith in Christ, who has delivered us from the power and the tyranny of sin. And so, would you help us in our daily fight against sin? Help us to obey from the heart. I pray this in the precious name of Jesus.
Thank you for listening to the sermon. Find out more about Central Baptist Church at www.central.org.za.